So the reading is from Genesis chapter 1, starting at verse 27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. Thanks be to God.
We used to, as a family, take caravan holidays. Two or three times a year. And places like York and Durham and Oxford were certainly firm favourites, and the countryside around these cities. Before each trip, however, there was always a flurry of activity. I'm sure you know what I mean. There would be church commitments to sort out. There would be last-minute errands, and of course, the van had to be packed. So by the time we finally wound down the caravan legs on whichever site we were going to and settled in, we were all exhausted. Content, yes, but weary. And yet, every time, it never ceased to surprise me, but every time, something strange would then happen. After a day or two, the tape, and that was the best way I could describe it, the tape of mental noise, the thinking about the to-do lists, the sermon outlines, pastoral concerns, didn't just quieten down, didn't quite fade away. It snapped. It was like a rubber band overpulled and finally breaking. But string released. Suddenly I was in the present, on holiday, in the moment. Perhaps you felt that too. That shift when the clutter clears and your soul breathes again. When you're no longer just in a place, but part of it. At one with your surrounds, at one with creation. Above all, at one with God. Well, that's no coincidence, because that's actually creation doing what it was made to do, pointing us to the Creator. To understand this more deeply, let's go back to the very beginning, literally. Since Genesis, as you know as well as I do, opens with these words: "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Before there were commandments, before there were human self-centeredness, even before the name or word human was used, there was creation. And God called it good. Good for him, good for us, good for everything under sun, and the suns far beyond. In fact, anyone who's gazed through a telescope on a clear starry night knows what Paul meant when he wrote to the Romans. He wrote these words: God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, has been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. Creation, then, is not just scenery. It is the first sacrament, the first communion, the first invitation to get in touch with God. In the spring of 1863, Follett S. Pierpoint, there's a name for you, sat on a hillside outside and above Bath, and he looked at the winding River Avon below him. Moved by the beauty, he penned these words: "For the beauty of the earth, for the glory of the skies, for the love which from our birth over and around us lies." Pierpoint then saw what we are being invited to see, that creation is not just beautiful, it is communicational. It speaks of a God who surrounds us with love. Well, now let's talk about another kind of communion. Not just bread and the cup, but the deeper fellowship they represent. For in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, tells us that God walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. Think about that intimacy. That was real communion. But human perversity fractured that closeness. And ever since, God has been restoring it not just through ritual, but through relationship. Thinking back, I remember Sunday nights in our family home many, many decades ago. And it was a time when takeaway meals were affordable. Friends and neighbors would gather, not just for food, but for fellowship. You came to be known, to be asked, how was your week? To laugh, to argue even, but always to be loved. That's what today's communion with God is like. It's not just a ritual. It's God saying, pull up a seat. Tell me about your week. Let me feed your soul. When Jesus shared the Last Supper, he wasn't launching some dusty tradition. He was saying, this is my body. This is my blood. This is my life given to you so that we can be together again. And I dare you, this morning and all the communions yet to come, I dare you to take communion with an open heart and not feel loved. So here we have two mountaintops, the awe of creation and the intimacy of the table. But that begs a question. How do we live in the space between these two peaks? Between the beauty of creation and the closeness of communion? How do we not get lost in the valleys that are dry and distracted, even despairing places? Well, a young man once asked his minister, why doesn't God speak to me like he did in the Bible? The minister smiled. How often do you check your phone? Oh, all the time, the young man replied. I'd feel lost without it. Imagine, the minister said, if you treated God like your phone, if you carried him with you everywhere, checked it first thing in the morning, turned to him when you were anxious or bored or needing direction. Charge your spirit every morning and every day through prayer and scripture. And then when you lost connection, do everything you could to restore it. The young man was quiet, thinking about this. God hasn't stopped speaking, the minister said. We've just stopped listening. Maybe it's time to upgrade your spiritual signal. So how do we do that? We start by seeing God in everything. When we walk outside, we don't just see trees, we see reminders of the tree of life, the cross of self-giving. When we eat and drink, we don't just consume, we remember the one who provides and invites us to share. When we sit in prayer, we remember that God is Emmanuel. That means God is listening. It means that God is helping. It means God, as Pierpoint wrote, from our birth, over and around us lies. But one more thing is certain. God is calling each of us wherever we are. For as Revelation put it, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. So, whether you're pitching a caravan in the countryside, chatting over a crowded takeaway meal, or sitting with bread and wine, God is there in the rustle of the leaves, in the breaking of bread, the quiet tapping at your heart. Now, creation invites you. Now, communion welcomes you. And in between, God walks with you. The table is set. The door is knocking. Will you open it?